This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Hi, everyone. It's Dave Denton, and this is Turnbuckle Trash, and I am excited because I got one of my favorites I'm going to be talking to today. And no, it's not Zane, and no, it's not Chris. It is the man with the plan, the king of the lemonade stand, the guy with the zest for life. It is Manny Lemons, the man who helps us with DCW. He's been on the podcast several times.
I just want to be real for 1 second, guys. I've been wrestling for over 10 years. 10 years I've given my life to this business. All the sacrifice, all the hard work, all the dedication to bring everything that I went there to do, bring it back to home base for all of you. So I just want to say thank you for your continued belief into me, into my guys, into my product, and to this day community of Utah professional wrestling. But let's be real for 1 second. I've been doing it for 10 years. On the plus side is, I make a living in professional wrestling because I bust my ass. December 3rd, in my home base, in front of my son, in front of my dad, in front of my mom, in front of my entire community. Yeah! I do the damn impossible, and I become the Impact World Heavyweight Champion, baby.
Manny, thanks for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash.
Hey, Dave, thanks for having me, brother. Excited to be on again.
Well, you know, every time we do a podcast, I'm telling you, every time, whether it's Chris, Zane, or myself, we're bringing up DCW because we enjoy the product.
That.
Yeah, you guys do such a good job there. And it was just a couple of months ago in September that I got to go to a show that was just basically in my backyard here in Logan, Utah, where you were combined with, and I'm sorry, I don't know the other promotion's name right off the top of my head, but it was a lucha show, and you guys were there, and you put on a great, great show here in Logan, and I thank you for talking to me that night and just having a great time. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely, and just be on the lookout, because we're, like I told you before, we're planning more Logan for 2023, so.
Oh, I can't wait, and I understand you've got a student that's from Logan, Utah, and we're going to try to get him on our podcast. Also, we've been trying to get that set up for a while, but that's neither here nor there. Manny, before we get into your fourth anniversary show, which is coming up on December the 3rd, I wanted to talk to you about and maybe get some of the background for some of the people that are just joining us on Turnbuckle Trash about you, Manny Lemons. Manny, you're from the Salt Lake City area. Let's talk about your athletic background and how it led up to this crazy world of professional wrestling.
Of course. I mean, I'm a big believer in sports can change lives. So, you know, growing up in a family who was very big into football, I was a big football player growing up, you know, played big in high school. I'd actually had the opportunity to go play college football. I didn't take my scholarship offers when I should have. I was just in a time and place where I had my son when I was 17 years old, and I just missed out on an opportunity to go play, you know, with Washington State when they offered me. And it's one of those things that I kind of kicked myself in the butt and not taken, but you know, that's neither here or there. And that's just ancient history at that time.
And that's a D1 program too. So that's really something then.
Yeah. Yeah. I was getting looked at by them and Utah State, but I ended up going with Washington was the bigger offer. And I just never pulled the plug, man. And I kind of wish I did, but you know, football's here and there, and it's kind of a chapter in my life that helped me get to where I am today. You know,
I know you're a big football fan, and you know, I'm friends with you on Facebook, and when we were messaging a couple of weeks ago, it was right after Tennessee, the Titans had lost a game. Now, you know, I'm from Tennessee, but how did you become such a Titans fan?
So it's funny because my dad was a big Titans fan. He's actually a big Oilers fan. He's a big Warren Moon mark.
Oh, okay.
In Canberra. So like growing up, it was the only thing that was like on television when we were watching, you know, whenever Sunday, hanging out Sunday, we're watching the Titans, we're watching the Oilers at that time and watching them play. And I've just kind of inherited it from him. And I've just been a diehard Titans fan ever since, you know.
Ah.
I got really, I mean, like from like 2000 to like 2014, they had like the worst seasons of their lives. And I was still like a fan. I'd still watch them, but I was really excited when they drafted Mariota because it brought a lot of change to their program. And, you know, as you've seen from then, they just kind of built and developed their team and they made the playoffs, you know, the last 3-4 years. So it's, you know, the program's turned around and I'm very excited to be a part of that and watch that, you know?
Yeah. And you even posted an opportunity. You had to go to the stadium, at least in the front of the stadium. Have you been able to go to a game live yet?
No, my schedule just never has made it. Like, for example, it was this last Sunday we were traveling from Atlanta to a show to back home, and I had a layover in Denver, and they were playing the Broncos, and I was like, man, if they were playing in Denver, yeah, I would have made that game, but it never worked, and just kind of lifestyle. I mean, it's just like you're always traveling, so like it's that kind of takes a back seat. That's why I have the mobile apps. I watch it on my phone. If there's ever a pub or a bar closed, I try to peep in and watch it on the TV there, you know. So
yeah. Well, I'll make you jealous here. I haven't been myself, but I have a cousin back in Tennessee, he and his best friend, and I'm not sure whether they still have the tickets or not, but they had season tickets for several years on the fifth row right behind the visitors' bench.
That's awesome.
They would send me messages, and I would just be going crazy because I'm a big football fan myself. So, but Manny, you go from this world of sports and athletics in the background. What led you to pro wrestling? Were you a fan, and then you got into it, or did you discover it and then decide to try to get some training?
Oh, I'm the biggest mark more than anyone, you know, not so much now, but back in the day, man, I've gone to WrestleMania 23, you know, and gone to all the Raws that would come to town. But just growing up, I was a fan. And I always remember this one particular moment that it goes back to my dad had the TV on. It was, you know, he's flipping back and forth between Monday Night Football and Monday Night WCW at the time, Monday Night Nitro.
Uh-huh.
And this moment in time, I always remember it. I have it saved on my YouTube link because I always just remember it so clear. It was when Curt Hennig was wrestling the Giant on WCW Nitro.
Uh-huh.
Curt Hennig, the NWO came out, attacked the Giant. They just start laying the boots to him. And then you just hear Eric Bischoff and Tony Giovanni saying, oh, it's Sting. What's he doing here? You know, here's Sting, blah, blah, blah. And then Bischoff saying, he's got a weapon. And then Tony Giovanni says, yes, he does. And I hope he uses it. And then he hops in the ring and drops the bat and just starts laying out the NWO like it was nothing. You just hear the roar of the crowd. And you just hear Tony Schiavone going crazy and Bischoff just complaining, saying, Hogan's going to get you. Hogan's going to get you. But like, that was like the coolest thing in the world to me. And it's like that from that moment, that's what attracted me to wrestling. And that's why Sting's probably my favorite wrestler of all time. But like that moment was it for me. I was like, that's the coolest thing in the world. And I want to be a part of that someday, you know?
And then you got to think about it. Sting is still in the game. I mean, he's getting ready to do a tag team match where Jeff Jarrett's on the other side, and he's going to team with Darby Allin. That's got to be thrilling for you to still see Sting in the ring in his early 60s.
Oh, I love it, man. I love it. You know, like, the thing is that, like, it goes back to like Flair's last match and like Hogan wrestling that last little run he did in TNA. It's like, you can't expect him to go out there and have WrestleMania main events. Like, if you expect that, then you're going to be let down. Like, Sting's 62. For 62, he can still move and do things pretty well.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
he does it better than half the people on the indies. And I don't know why. And the people who are criticizing him are the people on the indies. You know what I mean? So I love it, man. And I hope, you know what, like, I hope those guys who, like, wrestling's a certain passion that you can never take away. And then it's when it's time to step away from the ring, it's gotta be tough, you know, like, and that's why it's hard for Flair to let go, Sting to let go. It's like, but if they're still healthy to do it, why not? Like, who are they hurting to do it? You know?
Yeah, I agree with you. And anytime that you're in any form of entertainment, it's hard to hang it up. I mean, you know, it's tough here. I've been out of radio for almost 2 years, and I'm working on trying to get my toe back in just a little bit, and just because I just love what I do. And then to kind of take you back a little bit, you know, I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, and I remember when Sting and now the Ultimate Warrior, whatever one would call him then, they were the Blade Runners, and I was watching the Saturday morning TV show from Memphis when they made their first appearance, and I went, wow, look at those two guys. And they became big stars, and And then my other claim to fame is I remember watching Jeff Jarrett in his very first televised match. I had seen him doing the referee thing a couple of times where, like your son, he was very, very young, being a referee in the ring. But I watched his first match, and to see his body transformation and his body of work over the years has been a lot of fun for an old man like me to watch. And speaking of body transformations, Manny, I've talked to you about this before. When I first saw you several years ago at UCW Zero, you don't look like the same dude right now. Your body is really transformed. How did that happen?
It's part of the business, man. And it's a part of the gig. I don't know. Like, you have to put yourself in the moment. It's like, if you truly want to be a star in this business, you have to look like a star. You know, you have to have the look. You have to, you know, and like it takes years and years of doing it. Like you said, I mean, I started wrestling over 10 years ago, and back then I looked like the Michelin Man. But I mean, my ambitions and desires are to be the top of this business. So I got to look like the guys on the top of the business. So it requires in the gym seven days a week. But it's not just 7 days a week. It's two times a day, 7 days a week. Like I go to the gym twice a day, mm-hmm. once in the morning and once in the evening before I go to training. Either if I'm in Georgia training at the Nightmare Factory, or if I'm in, you know, here running the facility here. You know, wrestling has become, it's my livelihood now. I don't do it for the last 2 years, ever since I made the transition from Georgia and like doing everything I'm doing. I don't do anything other than wrestling now, Dave. And I'm very humble to say that, but it's been a grind. It's been a sacrifice. It's been giving up my old life to have my new life. But this is the new life that I want. It's the one that I'm striving to get. And that's why I'm passionate at everything I do. And that comes with the weight training, making sure your diet's clean, making sure you're getting enough sleep. You know, it's all a game, and it's all part of your work and all part of your craft. And that's just on the side of things, not to include in the ring, making sure you're impeccable on your timing, your spacing, and everything else like that. You know, it all comes as a domino effect. And that's really what it takes to be a star in this business, is you have to give your life to this business and give everything you have to it. And that's what I've done, and that's it. I'm reaping the benefits, and I'm still pushing forward and taking advantage of every opportunity that comes my way, you know.
Now, I know back, I think it was in April, I got to come to Salt Lake City to an autograph signing you had with Doc Gallows. I think it was in April, but it's earlier this year anyway. And yeah. We were talking just a little bit, and you were talking about, I asked about your body transformation, and you gave a lot of credit to QT Marshall and the Nightmare Factory. What is that training meant to you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the training of, you know, Carolyn is a big dietitian, so she makes sure our diet's impeccable, makes sure we weight train every day before we actually get into the ring. And that's where, like, during that lifestyle, that's where I've actually developed to go to the gym twice a day, you know, mm-hmm. because it's crucial, man. Like, getting to the gym for some people is hard once a day. Try doing it twice, you know. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you have to understand, like, getting there and doing the work that needs to be done. So if you go once in the morning, it's hitting your shoulders, and then you go at night, it's hitting the legs. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like not going there and not knowing what to do, because anyone could go to the gym and just hang out, but it's getting there and knowing what to do, getting the work and putting in the work and time and making it happen. And I credit the Nightmare Factory for that, because it really developed those habits into my brain, where now it's just like it's just habit. It's not even like I have to force myself to do it anymore. I just get up and go, and that's just part of the process of being a star, you know?
And, you know, you've really have improved your craft over the last couple of years, especially. So how much do you train now? Are you still with the Nightmare Factory training?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been putting on this show, I've been a lot in Utah, just mm-hmm. trying to make sure everything goes as smoothly, you know?
Right.
But I mean, when I'm back East, yeah, I'm always stopping in there, you know, mm-hmm. I'm in the ring at least 3 to 4 times a week. Mm-hmm. And if that's in Georgia, in Salt Lake, you know, whatever, wherever it is, you know, wrestling on the weekends, wherever I'm booked or wherever I'm going. But I mean, that's the thing. That's one of the most misconceptions that people get. They just think, oh, I wrestle the show, so I'm good. I don't need to get in there. It's like, no, like, if you want to be the best at what you have to be, you have to spend the time and own your craft. And that's legitimately one of the developmental habits that I created for the Nightmare Factory, is I went there to get better. My in-ring craft has tripled since I've gone there. And it's allowed me to come here and help train and develop a new generation of stars to a model that is based on the top of this industry. You know what I mean? So it's a grind, but I mean, I'm in there. I'm still training 3 times a week, at least in the ring.
Right. And it shows, Manny, honestly, it does. As a fan, a mark of professional wrestling, You know, I've been a fan since I was like, just, you know, knee high to a grasshopper, and I'm an old fart. But I really have noticed the development, not only of the in-ring work, but your character work and your interaction with the fans at ringside and in the arena. The last time I saw you a few months ago in Logan, I was so impressed with how you interacted with the fans themselves before and after you were in the ring. It was really fun to watch. How have you developed this character of Manny Lemons?
So it's funny because I did a podcast kind of explaining a similar question earlier, earlier in the month. But like, what it is basically is like, when I first started doing Manny Lemons, I wasn't a fan of it. I thought it was the dumbest thing ever. But you know, when my tender I did with Ring of Honor, when I went to my Ring of Honor camp, I met Kevin Kelly and Butt Riddle Bob Evans, and you know, they remembered me as Manny Lemons because at the time I was Manny Fresh wearing a bright yellow shirt. They didn't remember my last name. So after the tryout, they were just always like telling me, like, why don't you run with something like that? So Bob had eventually got me in contact with Richard, who's out of Rhode Island, and he does all like the Ring of Honor designs and whatnot. And he created the Manny Lemons character, and I kind of seen it on paper. I said, okay, that's good. I like that. Let's kind of see what's run with it. So I gave it a shot. My first show I actually did it out of, I got a great reaction from the crowd. And then the rest just kind of came with time and effort, you know, like it's, wrestling's a lot like sales. The more you do it, the better you're going to get out there. You got to get out there and sell your product and sell your brand, and you got to get comfortable doing it. You have to believe who you are. So now to this, you know, when I first started it, I didn't believe who Manny Lemons was. But today, me, Manny, Manton Smith, the person, and Manny Lemons, the character, are the same person, because it's just an inspiration of who I am, just times 10, if that makes sense.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense, yeah.
But I mean, that just comes with confidence in the ring, being able to do it. You know, I do owe a lot to Vince Russo and helping me create my confidence in my character. That's one of the things that I'll always be blessed to have when we had him around for that time we did, is because he really helped me get confident. And then it got me confident where I would go to the Nightmare Factory, and, you know, Glacier, QT, Cody, they helped me kind of develop it and become more confident, you know, and getting around Gallows and them. You surround yourself with people who are doing it, and you want to build your circle to be better. That's how you do it, is get around people to learn to become better. And I just take little things from all these people I've gone around, and I'm implicated to myself. And now it's just kind of taken off. And, you know, like I'm Manny Lemons, the brand, the king of the lemonade stand, you know?
That's incredible. And you mentioned some names there, Vince Russo, and I know you're associated with the Al Snow School of Professional Wrestling. You mentioned QT. You mentioned Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson. You had to be real proud when they got from their Impact contract, and now they're part of the OC on Monday Night Raw and doing a great job. To know that you are friends with them, that's really quite cool, to be honest with you, because I'm a big fan of both of those wrestlers.
Oh, man, we still talk pretty much on a daily basis to them. They are two of my closest friends on this earth, you know. Lately, I've been going through a lot mentally, emotionally, and those are two individuals who have actually just kept checking up on me, making sure I'm doing okay and doing whatnot, you know. But it was a bummer because they were booked for December 3rd. Right. And, you know, the funniest thing in the world is I was actually texting Gallows probably about, I want to say, an hour before they debuted on Raw, saying, hey, send me your information so we can get these flights booked. He says, okay, hold on, give me a second. And I was like, okay, whatever, you know, he's probably busy. All of a sudden, I get a text message. I get like 10 text messages for people. Hey, how does this affect your pay-per-view? And I says, you son of a... But I'm as happy as hell for them, man. Like,
yeah.
Those are two people, like, I've been around them and be able to learn around them. And not just, like, to be a better person, but to be a better performer, you know? Like, and it's like being around those two. They're two of the biggest stars. They're going to be two of the biggest stars of all time. And the fact that I've had the tender to be around them and learn and be evolved and know their family and know that, you know what they're all about, like, that's humbling. And to me, I just see it as more of an opportunity. Like, I have more friends who work for the WWE than anywhere else.
Wow.
It's an exciting time, man. And you just never know. And that's why you can never quit the grind, because, you know, people talk. It's all about who knows you and who's willing to bench for you. You know what I mean?
And you've appeared with AEW. You did some the AEW Dark, and then you as an ambulance driver, you were there the last time they were in Salt Lake City, right before the pandemic made everything just go to you know what. You've been out there. You've been getting your name out there, and to have someone like Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows, when they came into Salt Lake, I was watching your vlog on YouTube, and how Carl Anderson was reacting to seeing Utah. I couldn't tell if it was his first time here, but to see the beauty of this state that we live in, you call home when you're not in Georgia and traveling, it was really quite interesting. And interesting with Doc Gallows, when he came into town, we had one of the worst inversions because of the fires in California, and we couldn't see anything. But the next time Doc comes into town, you could actually see the mountains. That had to be cool to be able to show them what you know of the beauty of Utah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, I don't think, I mean, other than them, like, doing a one-day appearance, like, for, like, Raw or SmackDown back in the day, yeah, they don't really, like, they didn't really have the chance to hang out and see everything. So, yeah, during the day, to be able to tour and, you know, go around the city and whatnot, it was pretty cool to take them. And, you know, like I said, they're two of my best friends. So it's like it's humbling to give them that experience, especially in my hometown, because I'm proud of what I've done with Salt Lake and what I'm going to do, you know.
Right. I know you are, because you're always contacting me about things that you're going to be doing. And I appreciate that. I really do. Let's go back to your recent career, because you have been on the road a lot. I know you do a lot. And this past weekend, you were in Georgia. And which promotion were you with in Georgia when you were there?
So I was working the Lariato show. And Lariato is prior to Gallows re-signing with the WWE, that was his promotion. So now he's got other people running it, just because due to contract obligations, he can't actually be the one in charge. You know what I mean? Be the one running anymore. So, but I mean, that's how I got in the door there, is because of Gallows, becoming friends with them. And, you know, the show was actually a great show. The main event was me and Frankie Chiazzo, who's also booked on the 4-year show, versus Garrett Bischoff and Laser. And they came out kind of in an Aces and Eights theme, you know? So it was like, I was a fan of the Aces and Eights. So being able to wrestle, quote unquote, the Aces and Eights was kind of a cool feeling, you know?
Yeah.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Hi, this is Dave Denton. Let my voice go to work for you. It's davesvoiceworks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X. And you can hear samples of my on-air work and also some of the commercials I've done over the years. There's pictures from some of my career and more, all at davesvoiceworks.com. davesvoiceworks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the elders before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Now, also, I gotta say one thing to the people that are listening. I was so jealous because I think it was last year you put on social media that you were going to Phoenix to do an autograph signing with your very own action figure. How did that happen? And man, I got to find one of those one of these days. I'd love to have one.
Yeah, for sure. Unfortunately, I was only able to take two of those. So I gave one to myself and one to my grandmother, who's one of my biggest supporters. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's like, so my tender in Arizona is I've always worked with like Championship Wrestling from Arizona, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. And I was one of their bigger stars there in Arizona. They're on television, you know, they're seen all over the United States. So the 3D, Daryl, Daughtry, who owns the 3D sports card shop, is actually in Jeremy Peek, who was actually running Championship Wrestling at that time, who actually brought me in to do a signing. And they were telling me I was actually the only person who sold out on other action figures. So that was kind of a humbling experience.
Oh, that's cool.
But I mean, at the time too, you know, like I was working AEW, I was working Impact. So like my brand has continued to grow and develop. And, you know, that was a cool experience, because it's like you grow up and you're like, man, someone actually took the time to make an action figure of you. That's something that's pretty humbling. And, you know, something I'll always cherish and be grateful for, you know.
That is so cool. And you were also on the first episode of Championship Wrestling from Atlanta, were you not?
Correct. Yeah. I was actually the first match.
Yeah. I watched that. I saw that on YouTube and, I was so proud. And, you know, basically I'm proud of you because of all the hard work you've been putting in. Now let's kind of move on to, 4 years ago, you were kind of like at a crossroads. You were wrestling, but you weren't real happy with your development and you decided to invest in yourself. Let's talk about how that decision to invest in yourself as Manny Lemons came to be and what that decision was like.
So, yeah, I mean, 2018, it was kind of a darker place in my life, man. I was a branch manager at a bank, and I was actually fired because I didn't give enough attention to my job there. And it's because I was always, you know, taking a Friday or a Monday off to go wrestle all across wherever I was going. But, you know, I came to a crossroad when I wanted to, my family was always big supporters of me and they always wanted to see me wrestle. And when I left UCW Zero in 2016, I never wrestled in Utah. So it was like, my grandmother was always like, hey, when can we see you wrestle? When can we see you wrestle? They were actually half tempted to just fly to wherever I was going just to see me wrestle. But the crossroad came where it was like, you know, I want to run a show for them. I want to develop a product here. And it was supposed to be just kind of a one and done show, you know? But I mean, what happened was, is I think the community at that time needed a change. And at the same with myself, I needed a change as well. And when we ran the first ever devotion show, it actually drew pretty well. And it kind of created that opportunity, like, okay, there is a chance here to do something here. You know, let's plan another show. Let's do a show in January and let's see where that kind of goes. And we ran the show in January and that show was a very successful show. We had over 300 people there. And you're talking about 300 people for your second ever show. And it kind of became a point where you're like, all right, this is serious. We're going to do this. And that's where the developments of creating people started asking me, you know, are you offering training? Are you wanting to train people and develop new talent? So like, that's where the school came in place and everything kind of became a domino effect from that first ever show. But it's one of those things, man. I always tell you, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going all in to do it. It's not, I don't half-ass anything. And I looked at Eureka and I said, if this is something we're going to do, we're going to do this. We're going to go all in and make it happen. You know,
that's an incredible, and you've been very successful. You had your TV show on Salt Lake for 1 year. You've got the YouTube channel. You've been on Fight TV. You've been developing shows all over Utah with some other promotions. What other promotions do you work with besides Dive?
I mean, I work with anyone. I like a lot of the lucha companies will hit me up, ask for talent. I think the culture back in the day, like you just could never really wrestle anywhere because there wasn't really much to do other than just UCW Zero. Mm-hmm. So the culture of like being able to wrestle more, like these guys, it's their product, it's their brand. It's all good for them to get out there and wrestle, you know? So, I mean, I work with everyone, man. It's just people will have their opinions of me. And a lot of people don't like me because I've been successful with my module and what I do. Like I expect a lot of my students because that's like kind of what I've developed, you know, through my time and my development. So like, it's harder to be a student of the ASWA and harder to be a student of devotion because you are held to a higher accountability because you are the face of Utah wrestling in a sense, you know what I mean? Like it's, you know, but I work with everyone. It's just, if it makes sense, like if it's something that's going to tarnish my reputation or tarnish my product, then yeah, I don't want anything to do with it, but I work with everyone, man. I'm an easy guy, and you know that.
Oh, yeah, you're real easy to work with, and I've appreciated our working relationship and our friendship over the years. So before we get into your fourth anniversary show, let's talk about your wrestling school because you're on the road a lot. You're on the road probably more than you're in Utah. You've got to have a lot of people that you trust to help out with this wrestling school. Let's talk about some of these people that help you out with the wrestling academy you have in Utah.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest support obviously would be my parents first and foremost, making sure that everything's up and running. But I do got to give a lot of credit to Andrew Sowell for being the guy to kind of take the locker room leader leads. Because I mean, it does suck because it's like you're out here doing all these things and you're accomplishing all these things to try to bring them back. But in the same sense, the people in the school don't really see that value because they're just kind of here training and developing versus getting out there and seeing what really is going on, you know? Mm-hmm. So I got to give a lot his production has been, he is one of the most hardest workers in this business. Like, and that's, you know, when this is all said and done, he's going to be a guy who's going to reap all the rewards and the benefits of what we got going on, because he's someone who's never gave up and never quit on me, you know, and his production is hangs with the top of the top. Like you look at everything that's going on today. It's like, there's nothing on DCW's fight that's not, you don't see anywhere else. You know what I'm saying? So
right. And he does a move when he gets thrown into the corner and he lifts his body up, and he's a big dude, and he jumps over the guy coming in trying to do a shoulder tackle into him, and then he does a flip over him. This is a big guy that can really move, and Andrew Sowell. I've been a fan of his for years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's a little big, but he's a little agile, too, you know. So.
Yeah, and funny. The man is funny, too. He's got a great sense of humor. So, go ahead.
I just say, but that goes back to being a good character, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A lot of people get so driven in on, like, you know, like, oh, we got to do these moves. We got to do these moves. But it's like, no, your character is what's distinctive and makes you stand out. Mm-hmm. Like, anyone could do the moves. You know what I mean? Like, but being a character that, like you said, you're a fan of Andrew Sowell, he made you invest into what he's doing and made you a fan. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's what this business is all about. And that's kind of the lost art in what's going on in today's world, is a lot of people are losing the art of the character. And that's one of the things that I hammer in at my school, is like, you got to have a character. Because if not, you're going to go be A, B, C, D, indie guy, and no one's going to notice you, and no one's going to give a damn what you're doing, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, you could do a moonsault. Great. Can you tell a story? Can you cut a promo? Can you get yourself over? Can you sell yourself? You know what I mean? Those are attributes that we provide at my school, and that's, you know, that comes with having great technique in the in-ring work, you know? The in-ring work you have to have. Because one of the things that when Dreamer was out here is he hammered in, he's like, there's so many guys that have come to WWE that look 6'6", chiseled 8-packs, but they can't even do a basic lockup, and that's what, they don't even look at them anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, it's all a work to make it a work, and it's all comes back down to just putting in the work, putting in the time, and putting the effort to make it happen, you know?
Well, I think since we have been doing this podcast for about 8 years now, and then getting to know you and getting to know Andrew and Tom Chad and some of the guys, I've come to the conclusion that this is an art form. It's an entertainment form. And you can't do it just by saying, oh, I'm going to do it, because there's so much to learn. And the only way you can learn is through experience and going to a school. And I think that's been my most eye-opening experience, from being able to talk to you guys and to understand what's going on, and maybe behind the scenes a little bit more than I used to as just a mark. And I appreciate that, Manny. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've always been good to us, Dave. So that's why I always enjoy this, and enjoy you helping out where you can. You know, it's been very appreciative. So thank you for that.
Well, you know, I really wish I could do more, but the old health took a not a good turn about a year and a half ago, and so I'm still kind of dealing with some of the health issues. But I'm hoping to come down in December the 3rd, because, man, you have got a show coming up in Salt Lake City. Devotion Championship Wrestling, 4th anniversary show. Manny, let's talk about that show, because it is packed with not only the show itself, but you've got some really big names coming in for this particular show in December.
It's always that. I always go back to the, if you want to stay, if you play small, you stay small. We got to play big, and got to play big in a big way. Dave, I wanted to come on and say this on your podcast, because I know you're kind of well connected in the Utah community, and a lot of the people who are in this community listen to your podcast. But this is a call out to everyone in Utah professional wrestling in the community who always says, oh, I want Raw and SmackDown to come back. I want AEW to come back. I want the people to come back. You have a show that legitimately, when I tell you it could legitimately change everything that's about to happen, it's legitimately about to change everything that's about to happen for this state, for this community, for the individuals who are involved. But it has to be a success. It has to be a sellout. It has to be pay-per-view buys, you know. It's something that nature that's never been done before. And this is where I'm calling out the Utah community. You wanted it. Here it is. Show up, support. No matter what your opinions of me, no matter what your opinions are of Utah wrestling, this is a product that is a WWE quality product. If you look at the five individuals who are based on the pay-per-view, are five Utah talent that were born and raised here. Hey, you have me versus Josh Alexander for the Impact World title. right there.
You have
a world championship being defended in the main event of a pay-per-view, never been done before on an independent level. You have the next highlight, Reka Tahaka, born and raised, my first ever student, plucked high and went out there and made a hell of a career for herself. She is wrestling for the NWA Women's World Title against Camilla Brickhouse, who is arguably probably the most dominant woman in wrestling today.
I would agree. She is so good. I've been a big fan of hers for years.
Yeah, and then so two matches right there. You have Marty the Moth. Marty, me and Martin are good friends. Whatever anyone else to say about that, you know, whatever the beef is with Utah wrestling, Marty is a guy who has been here for Utah wrestling, and he deserves this opportunity to have a marquee match on a pay-per-view that's going to elevate Utah wrestling. He's going to wrestle Dirty Dongo, who is formerly known as Fandango in the WWE.
Hmm.
So there's three marquee matches.
There's three. Okay.
You have my DCW heavyweight champion, Brett Boucher, is going to defend his world title in a fatal four-way match against Bud Birch, William Cutting, and Josh Glade.
Wow.
And then you have then this match hasn't been announced yet, but I'm going to announce it here today on your show. It's going to be Andrew Sowell versus Juicy Finau. A lot of people don't know Juicy signed to MLW. Me and Juicy actually went to the same high school. We both went to Kearns High School. He graduated, I want to say, in 2014. I graduated in 2010. So to have him involved in what we're doing is kind of a cool concept, because we grew up in the same community, you know, and he went out and made a name for himself. And Andrew's kind of been the guy who's taken the lead and taken ownership of the school, of the promotion, why we've been gone, being able to accomplish everything. And, you know, he deserves to have a marquee match as well. But then you have those five marquee matches, but then you have two of wrestling's biggest names of all time, Diamond Dallas Page and Eric Bischoff. And I don't think I really need to introduce those two. You know all about those two. So.
Oh, yeah. Eric Bischoff, you know, with the Monday Night Wars, getting all that started, the NWO. And then, honestly, I'm not blowing smoke up your skirt here, DDP.
Guys, it's me, DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the Diamond Cutter, the three-time world champion, WWE Hall of Famer, and founder and CEO of DDP Yoga. And I'm going to be in Salt Lake City, December 3rd, at Devotion Championship Wrestling, the four-year anniversary. It's going to be amazing. You don't want to miss it. And I'm going to be there with my buddy Eric Bischoff. That's right. We're going to be doing a meet and greet. We're going to be taking photos and signing autographs. Would love to see you come down early. And then I'm going to kick off the show with a bang.
Diamond Dallas Page, since the time I saw him as a manager in the old AWA with the Diamond Dolls, the guy had it, and he still has it. He's got a great personality, and I think wrestling fans know what he has done with his DDP yoga, but his mind, as far as the business goes, that's incredible. And when you mentioned DDP coming to Salt Lake City, I got excited, because I think I even sent you pictures of what I have of DDP in my collection. I've got a soft doll. I've got a bigger, I've got action figures, about four or five just of him. And he's just always been one of my favorites.
Yeah. And like, you look at that, that was the first name we announced back in July.
Yeah.
I didn't need all these other names to sell this pay-per-view, to sell this product. I wanted it. I want this to be something that people talk about for the next 10 years. You know what I mean? The name Diamond Dallas Page sells itself. Everything else didn't need to happen. But if you want to do something that can change the game and be monumental, you have to get in there and you have to do something that's never done before. A Utah promotion has never gone live on pay-per-view. Trent's been busting his ass the last 2 months, and he's going to make us go live on Fight TV. That is something that's truly special. So,
and you know, I told you when you first said this, if I can't make it because of the health, I'm getting the pay-per-view. That's exactly what I'm going to do, because some form, I'm going to support you, and not just by doing this podcast. I'm going to support you financially too, and that's important to me. But when you mention Martin Casals, Marty the Moth Martinez, in the Lucha Underground promotion, I got to tell you one quick story. I have a Lucha Underground T-shirt that I wear quite often, And still to this day, even though Lucha Underground has not been on for a few years now, when I'm out in public, every once in a while, someone will say, Lucha Underground, I love that show. And I'll mention Marty the Moth and that he is from Utah. And they always kind of, you know, really, I said, yeah, a great guy from Utah. And then if you talk about him being, you know, a main event caliber talent, he was at the AAA, their show, what was it, 5 years ago, their form of WrestleMania, and performed in the main event in front of 23,000 screaming Lucha fans in Mexico City. This guy has done a little bit of everything in this business.
Exactly. And that's exactly why I circled back, Dave. He's a Utah homegrown talent, and he's someone who deserves to be a part of what we're doing here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I agree with you 100%. Martin was my – people don't know, Martin was my roommate back in Georgia when he went and spent time out there. We spent 3 months together every single day, you know. So, it's just that, like, if we're going to do this, we need the right players in place, and he's one of the players that come to mind that I need to get in place to make this happen. And it's going to happen. It's going to take all of us to do it, but we're going to do it. We're hell-bent on making it happen. Well, and that's why I told you I want to call out the Utah community, because here it is, 2 weeks away. It's time. You know what I mean? There's no reason that you shouldn't be there supporting this product, either buying a ticket or purchasing the pay-per-view, because what we're about to do is going to transcend the business, and it's going to be something truly exciting.
So let's talk about the location. Where is this show going to be held?
So we're going to be at a Trolley Square in downtown Salt Lake. We're at one of the bigger ballroom venues towards the, I want to say it's just west of the Spaghetti Factory. You know, the house can hold up to 500 people. So I plan to have 500 people in that place screaming fans.
Awesome. That is so awesome. And then if someone wants to get to meet Eric Bischoff or maybe DDP, what's that opportunity going to be like, and how can they get the meet and greets?
Yeah, so the make the greets are just purchased through the Eventbrite link, which I'm sure you'll post on your link here. Mm-hmm. The meet and greet, obviously, for you could do a double combo with Eric and Dallas, or you could do it just, you know, solo with DDP or solo with Eric. You know, it's depending on how you want to do it. But $70 for each, or we're doing $125 for both. We're also doing the Eric Bischoff seminar that day. He's not really an in-ring competitor,
right?
So a lot of his seminar is going to be more talking and, you know, helping with promos and stuff like that. But we're actually opening up to everybody, because it's like, why not? You know, why not come? Maybe that'll spark people to want to join our school and want to become more involved with wrestling in the community here, you know? Wow. So, you know, that's the seminar, $75. It's, you know, so it's kind of good, pick and choose, you know, whatever one you want to do and whatever you want to do. But yeah, this is a great time, and I'm calling out any wrestler in Utah who's ever stepped in the ring should want to attend a seminar, because I can't think of a bigger name to put on a seminar than Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, his mind for the promotional end of it, and not just because he was, you know, the voice, you know, on the Monday Night Raw and all that, but he ran the business when, what was it, for 83 weeks, Nitro beat Raw or something like that?
Yes, sir, yep. 83 weeks, and he's the only person to beat Vince McMahon. You know what I mean? So there's some value in what he does. And like you said, he created the NWO. He created all these characters, Goldberg, everything. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand why people wouldn't want to take advantage, invest in themselves, and go meet it, especially when it's down the street. We're not telling you to fly to Las Vegas. We're not telling you to go to Arizona. We're telling you downtown Salt Lake City, Utah, December 3rd is the place to be.
Right. And then, when you talk, you said Goldberg. Goldberg, his first televised match in WCW was at the Salt Palace in Salt Lake City. Zane was there. Yeah. So that got a lot of history going on here.
That's what I'm saying, man. So it all kind of circles back. And that's, you know, honestly, this last weekend, I had the opportunity to hang out with Eric and have a few beers with him. And it was like, that was the coolest thing in the world, man. Cause I mean, he's responsible for creating my childhood. I was a big WCW guy.
Right.
You know, very excited to come to Salt. He's just telling me, he's like, I'm so excited for this show. And if he's excited, then why are not all of us excited? Because he's the star. We're just the people putting it on. You know what I mean? I'm excited. And that's, I don't know. Like, to me, it's like, we're going to make this happen, and it's going to be the coolest thing in the world.
Well, one way or the other, I'm going to be there. If not physically because of the health issues, but I will be on the pay-per-view on Fight TV. And let's talk about how people can get their tickets. Once again, for December the 3rd, Trolley Square, if you want to go live.
Yep. So we used to do Venmo, but for this particular show, we have to keep it to the link just because of Trolley Square and security issues. We got to make sure everything's on tack because we don't need any funny business coming up to that day. Cause there's, unfortunately there's people who don't really care for me. So, So Eventbrite link will, I'm sure Dave will put it in the link here. You can order the pay-per-view on Fight TV, $14.99 as well. They are shutting it off or within a 20-mile radius that you can't order the pay-per-view until after the show airs. Uh-huh. So the really way to see it would be live or if you're within it out of that 20-mile radius.
Wow. Well, I'm just excited for you. And when does everything start as far as when the doors will open, when people can come in for the show itself?
So I think by supply by demand, I think we're going to have to open the doors for the meet and greet at 4 p.m. Obviously, we'll start early at noon with the seminar with Eric. That'll go till about 3 to 4-ish, rolling right into the meet and greet.
Right.
We're going to, at about 6 o'clock is when doors will open to the general public, get everyone in there. About 6:30, we're going to have a couple pre-match show just to get everything rolling, make sure Trent's up to date, up and going. 7 o'clock, we're live on Fight. 7 o'clock, no exceptions, live on Fight TV.
Wow. And Trent's going to be running all that and trying to do commentary and everything. That man's going to be busy that day, isn't he?
Oh, man, I know. And he's been a blessing in this whole thing. And that's why I'm humble and, glad to see he's going to reap the benefits of all the hard work he's done. And, what we're going to do next is going to be amazing, Dave. I promise you that.
Well, I'm excited for you, Manny, and I appreciate you coming on our podcast and talking about not only DCW, but some of the things in professional wrestling. And, Zane always says this is such a great time to be a fan of professional wrestling because you just don't have the WWE anymore. You've got AEW, you've got Impact, and the rise of some of the independents. They're all becoming a little bit more popular right now. I'm really excited. Like you mentioned, MLW, man, those guys are getting huge too.
Yep. It's an exciting time, Dave. And it's like, even with Triple H in charge of WWE, this is the first time in my life, in my entire career, that I ever thought, man, I could work for the WWE. You know what I mean? It's just a time. It's exciting. And the conversations that I've had in the last 2 months of a lot of things that we got motion and moving, it just... I'm excited as all hell. And that's why it says it all circles back to the community of Utah, making this pay-per-view and show a success, because that's what it needs to be to get us to that next level.
That's incredible. Manny Lemons, Manny, I appreciate you so much. And I'm sorry that we couldn't get Zane on the phone with us, but as you're trying to make a living for yourself, that the job's always got to come first. And I know he's been busy with his work today. So.
Oh, no worries. We'll get Zane. We'll speak to Zane soon. Yeah. I think he's coming to the show, right?
Yeah, he's going to be coming there, and I'm going to bust my big fat, try to get down there and see the show. And of course, if you need any help before or after, just let me know, because I want this to be a success, and we'll see what we can do to help you out. Okay.
Sounds good, my brother, and I appreciate you as always.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro yes! Wrestling from a fan's yes! perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you... aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
A lot of my friends tell me I look like a pro wrestler, but not a good one. I look like those guys that used to lose on Saturday afternoon wrestling. You might remember those guys. They were the ones that didn't have a theme song or a nickname. They were just waiting there in the ring when they came back from a commercial break. That's how you knew they were going to lose every week. They were already there. They'd get the saddest introduction in wrestling. Just, already in the ring, weighing in at 275 pounds, from Robbinsdale, Minnesota, Scott! You just knew. The next person through those curtains was kicking the crap out of Scott.